Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Kevin is Texas on the Ashley Fine Flores text line at 635. Let's agree that Evan Bouchard is a good offensive defenseman. Elite is a stretch, but he has that potential. His young mistakes will cost us big in the NHL. He must learn basic defense and hustle. Gall darn it. Ha ha ha. That comes to us from Kevin. Oh, I think when you're in the top five in scoring in the league for defensemen, you are elite offensively amongst defensemen, Kevin. He's coming. He's a work in progress defensively, but he produces a lot more than he gives up. Let's do this. As we mentioned, at 6:34 in Edmonton, you're listening to Oilers Now, and we are pleased to be, we're going to head off to the Farm Report for Wave Bathroom Renovations.
The Farm Report is brought to you by Wave Bathroom Renovations. Professional bathroom renovations built right. Hire Wave Bathroom Renovations and know your bathroom will turn out great.
As we're pleased to be joined on the line, to have on the line right now by the Bakersfield Condors head coach, Colin Chalk. Hi, Colin. How are you doing?
Doing very well, Bob. How about yourself?
Not bad. Not bad. I saw all of Wednesday's game in Calgary online and all of Friday's game. It was 1 o'clock in the morning when it finished. You guys are finding pretty creative ways to get games in overtime, like a team scoring an own goal. How many times have you seen that happen over the years as a coach?
Oh, I've never seen it live. I remember watching it on SportsCenter. I don't remember who, but you know, similar. They tried to move it back to the D and just didn't connect. And you know, yeah, that's the way she goes. We're lucky to get the bounce, and we're thankful for it.
Yeah, the Oilers got one like that in Chicago when the Blackhawks were in the height of their powers back in the, I'm thinking it might have been 2009-10 or 2010-11. They got a goal like that against the Hawks. In fact, I think they scored 4 goals on about 7 shots in Chicago and route to a 5-2 victory once. So it's a crazy game, this game that we love and have passion for. So tell me about the 2 games in Calgary. Then you came home for a huge matchup against the best team in your league, Coachella Valley, and then you wrapped up the game against Ontario. Assess what turned out to be a 2-2 week for you.
Yeah, it was, game one we had in Calgary there. The truth is I don't believe we played well enough to win. You know, however, it was a 1-goal game, and we had 3 posts, and we had two empty nets that we missed. So, you know, it would be nice to, or it is nice to win some of those games when you don't really believe it. Glad for the guys and for everybody that we played an excellent game there in Calgary, and it needed to go to the shootout to get the win, but felt like we definitely outplayed them, outchanced them, but had to get to the extra frame to get it done. And more of the Coachella Valley game, we're out to a 2-0 lead. They're tricky off the rush, we know that. They end up getting 2 off the rush in the second period. We felt like we had Sam Gagne had a semi-break, Jaden Group had a great chance at the end of the game. We felt like we outchanced them. They definitely outchanced us in overtime, but we really felt like we deserved that game. And then the one in Ontario, we didn't start well, and unfortunately we fell, missed face-off assignment. We fell behind early. And then, it was a bit of a back-and-forth game. We didn't give up a lot, but as you know, versus that 1-3-1 defensive style, if you get behind, it is hard to get back. So we had our chances. It wasn't enough.
Yeah. All right. For the here and now, we're joined by Colin Chalk for the Farm Report for Wave Bathroom Renovations. The two players, and this would not surprise you, that the majority of our listeners and Oilers fans are keeping an eye on a daily basis down on the farm, are Dylan Holloway at forward and Philip Broberg on defense. So Broberg was out a while. He's back in the lineup. How's he looking?
He's starting to get to where he was before he got injured. He was a man, but it has taken him a little bit to get back from that lower body injury, But I would say he's definitely an impactful player. There's definitely something there, and I think it's exciting for Oilers fans. At some point, if it's this year or I believe next year, I think he'll be at the point that there won't be much more he needs or can accomplish at the American League goal. As far as Dylan Holloway, from a skating perspective, puck handling perspective, they're all at a high level. I'd like to see him simplify his game a little bit more, shoot a little bit more, have a little bit more of a give and go style. But I think right now he hasn't been there as long as Broberg, and he's still feeling his way out a little bit. He's got more time. He's got more. He's playing 20 minutes a night, so he's at that stage where he's building and growing his confidence. But what we're trying to do is get him to try to play an NHL game down here, which is straight lines, shoot the puck, get to the net, play give and go, be at the net, be greasy, be hardworking. And when you have the time and space, you can definitely default to your skills. But let's not start with it and overhandle it. But they're both bright spots for us.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What happened with Jack Campbell? I noticed that you ended up in a situation where Olivier Rodrigue got the bulk of the starts this week.
Yeah, he just got his bell rung with a shot, they're not sure exactly. I would say what it is, but he's definitely not healthy, and what happened in pregame skate. So, luckily, he's done a fantastic job, and Jack has as well. He was ready to go and wanted to go, but it's just you're injured, and unfortunately, he's not available right now.
Okay. On defense, Max Wanner, and I saw him score a shorthanded goal Friday night. He's got a little bit of bite. I don't know if he's dropped the gloves yet this year, but at some point he's probably going to have to, because he is a guy that plays with a little bit of edge, isn't he?
Yeah, he does. He's laid some big hits, and he is physical. And you and I have talked a lot, online and offline, the physicality and just how important that fear factor is still alive in the game today. So as far as dropping the gloves, it's a bit, that's a whole different can of worms, right? When you got, yes, 20, 30 year old men, right? But I think good that he's standing there. Keith McCamber's done a fantastic job with both him and Boba, trying to get them to be mean in front of the net, those cross checks, under sticks, clearing the front of the net for our goaltenders. And that's something that's growing in both of their games.
Xavier Borgo has not played the last couple of weeks. Is he still out a while?
Yeah, he's still out a few more weeks with an upper body injury. So, we'll just wait until he's available. When he is, we'll get him back in.
Grew blocked a shot on Friday, did not play. Is he day-to-day for you right now?
Yeah, he's day-to-day. It's unfortunate because, you know, he's the type of kid that when you're shaking his hand after the game, you know, I said, hell of a job. He goes, it's too bad I missed that. You know, he had an empty net chance. It was a rolling puck with 30 seconds left. And I said, how's your foot? He goes, I got two.
There you go.
Yeah, I couldn't.
Well, it's you know, I love 6'2", 6'3", right shot centers. I think about right defense and right centers because there's not an abundance of them out there. Raphael Lavoie, and I know he went through about a 24-game period where I think he had maybe one even-strength goal. You know, I know this. If the Oilers send Broberg, next year Broberg has to clear waivers. If they send him down, he's getting picked up. He's an eighth overall pick. Raphael Lavoie cleared this year, but he's going to have back-to-back 25-goal seasons. Have you seen him sort of get his game back? Often when guys first go up to the NHL, there's a little bit of a challenge when they come back down. But just give me a thought on what you're seeing out of Raph, because we had a lot of questions on him too.
Yeah, he definitely, you know, when we look at our in-house analytics about, you know, how much he was creating 5-on-5 scoring chances for, he was above, off the charts or leading our team by a lot there, and he earned his first call-up, which he definitely deserved. You know, as you know, he went through that time that he wasn't generating offensively 5-on-5, and he wasn't the only one, right? Our power play had gone from 31st to, you know, top 10 in the league, and they were waiting for that. They were living off that, and those were hard conversations we had with Raph. He's been better as of late, you know, so I think that's a bright spot. You know, and he knows that, you know, he's not going to come in and play on the power play in Edmonton. Maybe the second power play one day, but, you know, that's a challenge on a nightly basis to be impactful 5-on-5. He knows that he's been better as of late, and we'll see how he goes down the stretch here.
Colin, what's the schedule like this week?
Oh, it's jam packed. We got practice tomorrow and depart for San Diego. We're there on Wednesday, and then in Henderson on Friday, and we got another crack on Ontario on Saturday to get an opportunity to be in the top four and have home ice advantage in the playoffs.
All right, awesome stuff. Thanks, and we'll hook up. It'll actually be Brendan next week because I think I'm flying to St. Louis next Monday. But thanks for joining us on Oilers Now, okay?
Okay, always a pleasure. Thanks for having me. Safe travels, Bob.
We are going to bring aboard Reed Wilkins, who hosts, of course, Inside Sports and also the City Ford Faceoff Show. Hello, Reed. How are you?
I'm quite well, Bob. How are you?
Good. How would you assess the weekend that was for the Edmonton Oilers?
Well, disappointing when you don't win a game. I thought that the and we talked about it before yesterday's game. The performance in Toronto was uninspiring and left a lot to be desired in many areas, quite frankly. So that was the game was a dud, quite frankly. I thought their performance was a dud in that one. You know, yesterday, if you have that shot margin, you hope you would win most of the time. I guess, you know, Pickard's, and I said this to Rob after the game too, Pickard's stats were not good. I would have liked, I guess, the one thing I would be a little critical of is Pickard has done his job more than what was expected of him this year. He's picked up the team and bailed them out quite a bit. I didn't, you know, 3-1 lead, like, put it away for your goalie. You know, give him an easier night. I know he didn't face a lot of shots, but he faced a lot of great A's, faced power plays that got cashed in. I would have liked to see them. I mean, Hyman got the 50th, which was great, but, you know, bail out your goalie, who's had a .920 save percentage as a third stringer coming into that game. That left me a little disappointed from that one.
Reed, how would you handle, you know, if other teams take a page out of Toronto's playbook and start pounding with David and Drysdale, how would you handle that if you're Edmonton?
Well, you got to hit, Bob. Like, look, McDavid and Drysdale are going to get hit. I mean, that is hockey. It's a physical, violent game. There's certainly less fighting than before. I mean, I heard you talking, I can't remember which guest, you might have been during MACT, said, you know, Carrick skated by Edmonton and said something, and Edmonton didn't want to go. 40 years ago, you just would have grabbed the guy and forced him to go, and there wouldn't have been an instigator or a misconduct or anything like that. So if a player wants to play physical and not fight, for the most part, they can get away with that these days. But, I mean, be the hammer, not the nail. Don't push back, push first. And the Oilers didn't have that mentality. Maybe they were caught up on getting Hyman 50. Maybe they were distracted being in Toronto. I don't know. I don't want to make excuses for them. But to me, Bob, whether McDavid or Draisaitl are getting hit shouldn't be a factor in how aggressive the Oilers are. And the Oilers have a heavier, meaner, cheekier team, if you want to put it that way, right? So go out there and do it first. Don't wait till you see McDavid knocked down or you're down 3-0 to get a little irritated. I mean, look, I've said this a dozen times. Vegas, one of the big factors in Vegas winning the Stanley Cup last year was that they played as a group like a bunch of miserable bastards every game in the playoffs. We're going to hit. We're going to cross the line. We're going to dare the ref to call a penalty, you know, and that's the mentality the Oilers needed, and they didn't really have it on the weekend. Sometimes they have it, to be fair. All I mean, right, they are better at that than they used to be, but they didn't have it on the weekend.
Do you have any miserable bastards coming up on the Inside Sports Show tonight?
Well, the host, obviously, will be the only one.
Yes, you're getting to be quite a curmudgeon.
Thank you. I will have, we'll chat about the Oilers and their weekend and playing the Jets. I was at the Elks announcements today, so I got chats with Gizmo, with Ed Jones, and with Tanner Green, and also Luke Pierce, the coach of the Oil Kings, will wrap up their season. They did pretty well after New Year's, Bob. Kind of the first half, though, put them in a pretty big hole.
I'd like to know what their record is once they got Grayson Sachin. Thanks a lot, Reid.
Okay.
We're going to go to List Day in Oilers History. It's presented by New West Travel. Explore Southeast Asia on a chartered river cruise next March. Call or visit newwesttravel.com. Back at the 630 Chad Studios. Oh, the great one. What a great guy to talk to. What a privilege we've had over the years. We'll go to, I think he was involved in this. You could almost, Brendan Escott, can we not do a This Day in Oilers History every day with something that Wayne Gretzky did?
More or less, yeah. I mean, there was a good decade, I would say, or, you know, just under it, whatever it was, that pretty much every record that could be for the team in the league was at least tickled, if not broken. But yeah, today he became the first NHL player to score 200 points in a season. Set up Pat Hughes in the first period against Calgary at the old Stampede Corral. The Great One also set an NHL record by scoring two shorthanded goals just 27 seconds apart, his 89th and 90th goals of the year.
He was pretty good. Tomorrow, a full preview of the Oilers against the very good team, the Winnipeg Jets, who, like Edmonton, had a tough weekend. Brian Lawton for Wild Factor Desserts, former NHL general manager and the number one pick in the 1983 NHL draft. He will join us in tomorrow's edition of Oilers. Now, I know that David Staples wrote about Brian's comments last week. Brian saying he didn't think Ken Holland kept up in the Western Conference arms race. James Dunn has a Global News weather traffic update. Special thanks to Kellen Kennedy and Brennan for helping put together today's show. Reed's up next with Inside Sports. So long, everybody, from Winnipeg.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.